Thank you, everyone, to convene this this meeting, this hearing. This is the Wednesday, April 10th, 2013 meeting of the Transportation and Public Safety Finance Division. I apologize for our very late start. We had some, as you probably are aware, we had some changes to make in the bill over the last couple of days and then some final jiggering to do in the last hour or so. I apologize for that, but we'll now get started. And Vice Chair Kent will be chairing the meeting.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have before Senate File 1173, which is the Omnibus Finance Bill for Transportation and Public Safety. And I'll start off by offering the A2 amendment. That should be in your packets, members.
12.
Senator Dibble moves the A2 amendment. And forgive me, did we have it a quorum? So
yes.
We do have a quorum present. So with the A2 amendment moved by Senator Dibble, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Amendment passes.
And then, Madam Chair, I have the A12 amendment to the A2.
Huh? All of us.
And that should have been passed out. Mm-hmm.
Senator Dibble moves the A12 amendment. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes.
Madam Chair and members, I'm going to ask Senate the bill has been a work in progress, and so Senate counsel has been extremely helpful in helping put it together. I'm going to have them help me walk through it initially, but the short version is that this is a status quo bill, current law, for the most part, and so no additional revenue in the bill of any sort. We have some policy changes and a few little spending changes here and there, but no major changes that had been contemplated and discussed in some previous hearings in this committee around transit, around roads and bridges and the like. So with that, Ms. Boyd, do you want to help us out here?
Sure.
Ms. Boyd?
Madam Chair and members, if you're looking at the this is going to be difficult because we have two amendments in front of us, but we'll do the best we can. If we start with the A2, I believe I'm just going to focus on change items to the base budget, but if there are any questions, any member can stop me. The first change is going to be on an airport development and assistance, which starts on page 2, line 11 of the A2 amendment. And this amount shown is a $650,000 reduction from base spending from the State Airports Fund, and that is to align revenues and expenditures in the fund balance, and that is just one time in 14 and 15, and the base spending comes back in 16 and 17, as you can see on line 16 and 17, conveniently.
And Madam Chair,
Mr. Senator Dibble,
that changes to reflect reality that the revenues coming into that special revenue fund are less than they would have otherwise been because of an airline bankruptcy and some other reasons. So we're just reflecting the appropriation to reflect the fund's circumstance.
Thank you. Ms. Boyd?
Madam Chair, the next change to base spending is on line 224 in Aviation Support and Services. This is an internal department shift of trunk highway funds on the trunk highway line of $263,000. This is from state road planning for increased aviation costs in the aviation support and services management activity. This is transfers that have been happening in the department for the past several years and just decided to make the base change and ask the legislature for that. The next change will be at the top of page 3 under transit. The Minnesota Council on Transportation Access was scheduled to expire at the end of 2014. That sunset has been removed. That language is in Article 2 of the bill. So this extends funding The council has been receiving $100,000 of general fund administrative expenses in each year, and that was set to expire at the end of 14. So this starts at this is additional spending in 15, and then would be ongoing. The very next change would be at the bottom of that page in program planning and delivery. It's not reflected in rider language, but it's the other half of the trunk highway shift of $263,000 to the aviation support and services line. So those changes zero out. It's just a shift in trunk highway dollars between programs. The next changes will be in state road construction. And again, I can't point you to rider language, so it might be easier to look on the spreadsheet. On page 3 of the spreadsheet under the Senate sections, the change items in the Senate bill are federal changes. These are anticipated federal receipts of funds under state road construction that are booked in the total. Those amounts are deposited in the Trunk Highway Fund, and they are appropriated out of the Trunk Highway Fund. And the next change, I believe, is down in, that is the last MnDOT change from base spending. And so the next change will be in Department of Public Safety.
Beginning page 10.
Starting on page 10. And the first is similar to some shifts in the Department of Transportation. There's a shift of general fund money between some appropriations in the admin program of Department of Public Safety, and this is to reflect sort of centralization of technology services and some shifts of appropriations to accommodate for that. So the total is $149,000. You can see there's additional $79,000 each year shifted to public safety support. Might be one before that. I'm sorry. $70,000 shifted in Office of Communications, new spending. $79,000 a year in public safety support, new spending. That's on page 5 of the spreadsheet. And then that $149,000 is reduced from the technology and support services general fund appropriation. And again, those zero out. Those are shifts of general fund dollars among budget activities. The next change from base is under State Patrol, which is starting on the bill at the bottom of page 12, on the spreadsheet on page 6, there's an increase of $1 million each year. That's Trunk Highway Fund appropriation for increased fuel costs. That was a request by the department. The next changes from base will be under Driver and Vehicle Services, and that starts at the bottom of page 13 of the bill and page 7 of the spreadsheet. First, there's an these are all special revenue funds out of the two accounts available to Driver and Vehicle Services. The first is $1 million each year. That's an ongoing appropriation for additional staff to enhance vehicle title processing, and that's under Driver Services. And there's a one-time appropriation of $98,000 in fiscal year 15 for the vehicle services part of the cost of phone system replacement. That is a one-time appropriation, and that will be for transfer to the Office of Enterprise Technology to start constructing and developing that system. The next changes are under Driver Services, below that and on page 14 of the bill. In the riders, you'll see $150,000 in new spending in the second year, and that'll be ongoing in the tails for two new positions in Driver Services to implement facial recognition programming. And then you see $52,000 is the piece of the phone system replacement funded by Driver Services, again for transfer to OET. And then there's appropriations of $37,000 in fiscal year 14 and $33,000 in fiscal year 15 to fund a halftime position to assist the new novice driver education improvement task force. That is a limited time task force, so those appropriations will be made in 14-15, and a very small portion, $6,000, is in the base in 16, or is spent in 16. I believe the next, are any changes? I believe that might be our last change, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Madam Chairman, members, then we move to the Department of Public Safety, the criminal divisions. Homeland Security and Emergency Management is Chairman's recommendation is base funding. Subdivision 8, the BCA, Chairman's rec is base funding for the Trunk Highway Fund and State Government Special Revenue Fund in a $500,000 a year cut from the general fund base of the BCA agency-wide. Subdivision 9, the Fire Marshal, Chairman's rec is base funding. Subdivision 10, Gambling and Alcohol Enforcement, Chairman's rec is base funding. Subdivision 11, the Office of Justice Programs, Chairman's rec is base funding plus a cut in the governor's initiative for crime victim assistance grants from $1.5 million each year to $1 million each year for a total of $2 million, and a chairman's recommendation of $1 million each year for youth intervention programs, and a chairman's recommendation of $50,000 a year for the community safety personnel grants for de-escalation, for a total general fund appropriation of $35 million, $10,000 each year. And then finally, Subdivision 12, Emergency Communication Networks, the Chairman's rec is base funding, plus the governor's initiative of $600,000 the first year and $1 million the second to transfer to the Department of Transportation to maintain the state's 800 megahertz public safety radio system. And that completes my section.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Senator Dibble?
Madam Chair, Mr. Turner had prepared an amendment that I think Senator Tomassoni was going to offer, and it has to do with the...
Yes, Bonnie, do you have...
They'll pass it out.
Okay, the A7 amendment.
The A7 amendment?
Yeah, if Mr. Turner could explain it, because...
Yes.
That will be coming around.
I can explain it if you want.
Mr. Turner, if you want to go ahead and start explaining it.
Well, Madam Chair, members, this is from the Vikings bill last year. It included a gambling enforcement provision with a $250,000 annual appropriation from the lawful gambling regulation account in the Special Revenue Fund to the Alcohol and Gambling Enforcement Division of the Department of Public Safety. It was intended to be ongoing, but it was inadvertently left out of the governor's bill, and it has no general fund implications.
Madam Chair, I'll move the A7 amendment.
Thank you, Senator Tomassoni. Any discussion or questions regarding the A7? I know it's still being passed out. We'll wait. So people have a chance to take a look at it.
Our gambling and stadium vote here.
Any questions or
can we add something to it?
Comments?
Yeah, make an amendment. I'm just kidding.
All right. Seeing no questions, all in favor of Senator Tomassoni's A7 amendment, please say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
So, members, before we go to questions and amendments, the bill as it stands is still out of variance with our general fund target by about $17 million. The reason, and so we're working on it. The reason for that is, of course, because a big part of the original budget as proposed was premised on enactment of the sales tax, and that would have replaced a $46 million one-time general fund cut to Metro Transit. That, of course, is not happening in this bill, and so it created a great deal of variance. And so, a number of initiatives, of course, you see that aren't present are because we just simply didn't have the space in the general fund to pay for a lot of new initiatives. So that would explain why some stuff you think might have been in there, isn't in there, or isn't there to the level. But I just want folks to know that we're still, we've solved what, 46 minus $17 million of our target problem, and still working on the rest with the chair of finance. Actually, the reason why we're delayed in our start, we're trying to figure more of that out. So with that, I'm available for questions or amendments.
Questions for Senator Dibble? Amendments? Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to offer the A11 amendment.
Could you please repeat that? Was it A11?
A11, yes.
A11. Senator Pratt offers the A11 amendment.
Hold on one moment, Ms. Manchin.
Just a minute.
Okay. I'm sorry, Madam Chair, I'm going to defer for other members to ask questions before I offer the amendment.
Okay.
But we can go ahead and pass it out.
Okay. You do want it passed out now? Or not?
No, let's
Okay,
hold
we'll
on.
Wait. All right. Questions, members? Okay, there are no questions. Well, this was about the bill in general, and so
Is it the bill in general, or is it the amendment?
Well, it's the A2 delete all amendment.
Okay.
Is where we are, unless there are amendments to the amendment. Okay.
Madam Chair.
Do we have his amendment?
Senator Osmek.
I'd like to offer the A8 amendment, please.
A8 amendment from Senator Osmek.
Increasing spending.
Senator Osmek.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is to restore the state road construction infrastructure investments funding to the tune of $95 million. This does not impact our general fund number. This comes out of trunk highway funds, and this is part of the governor's proposal. This was to work on pavement improvement and construction, and because it is revenue neutral, and I think we all can all agree we need to do as much as we can for the roads, and this is using the trunk highway funds. I think this should be somewhat non-controversial and something we can include because it doesn't impact the general fund number we're already off on.
Thank you, Senator Osmek. Questions on the A8 amendment, or I apologize. Senator Osmek moves the A8 amendment. All in favor? Discussion first.
Thanks, thanks, Madam Chair, and members can make their own decision on this amendment. This is not something that we picked up because, of course, we know that without any additional funding in the trunk highway fund, the pressure is extremely great on the available resources. This is additional spending out of the trunk highway fund, and just creates that much more pressure inside the trunk highway fund. That's not available then for the kind of core work that's available that we achieve through bonding. It creates less space if we're going to do any sort of trunk highway bonding and some of the essential core work that comes out of the trunk highway fund. This is a additional appropriation authorization that just reaches a little bit deeper into the trunk highway fund. So, but folks can make their own decisions.
Thank you, Senator Dibble. Senator Osmek.
Madam Chair, and I appreciate the Senator Dibble's comments. I think when we're at a time where we can invest early and improve our roads with trunk highway dollars, which are already appropriate for that, if we don't spend them, they're going to go to the bottom line. They're still going to be there. This is the time for us to use them because we won't have the general fund revenues to do some of those projects under current circumstances. And I'd ask for a roll call vote.
A roll call has been requested, and a roll call will be granted. Additional questions or comments, members? All right. Yes, Senator Rest.
Senator Dibble, would you state your opinion about this amendment again?
Senator Rest, I will be voting no on this amendment. I, however, encourage members to make their own decision. My position is, you know, this is additional appropriation authorization within the Trunk Highway Fund. We're approaching a spending cliff, you know, in the Trunk Highway Fund. We're almost at our total debt capacity within the Trunk Highway Fund. We're right up there, and this creates just that much less space if we're going to do any sort of bonding and that sort of thing out of the trunk.
Okay,
highway.
Thank you very much.
It's very helpful.
Additional questions or comments, members? All right.
Take the roll.
Yeah, he was interrupted. Mr. York, will you please take the roll?
All right. Chairman Dibble.
No.
Senator Carlson.
No.
Senator Champion.
No.
Senator Franzen.
No.
Senator Jensen.
No.
Senator Kent.
No.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yes.
Senator Miller.
Yes.
Senator Osmick.
Yes.
Senator Peterson. Senator Pratt.
Yes.
Senator Reinert. Senator Rest.
No.
Senator Senjum. Senator Tomasoni.
Somebody's got a phone on here.
Senator Westrom.
Yes.
Senator Wieger.
No.
With 5 votes yes and 9 votes no, the A8 amendment is not adopted. Are there any further amendments? Senator Westrom.
Madam Chair, I'd like to offer the A5 amendment.
Okay, Senator Westrom offers the A5 amendment.
Madam Chair, and I would invite, are they passing them out?
I believe they are being, yes, here they are.
I'd invite the chairman's reaction as well as comments. At a minimum, I'd like to get the committee refreshed on another transit option we have sitting in our state, potentially, one that really, I think, could augment our current transit systems or serve a purpose in areas that maybe we don't have transit systems. But it would be $10 million to the University of Minnesota to complete solicit bids or proposals, I should say, not bids, proposals to finish the testing and also have it as a training site for a personal rapid transit facility somewhere in our state from counties or cities, communities over 35,000. Many of you have maybe heard about personal rapid transit. There's a company called Taxi 2000 that I became familiar with about 14 years ago. And our University of Minnesota, it was a professor there that helped design this, an engineer professor that helped design this what is now a company, and the university has some interest in, and I understand royalties that would go to that company if I go to the university if the company does sell and use this technology, or if we get it deployed here. It only makes sense. It's made sense for several years, but it makes sense to me that we try to help incubate this in our state, fulfilling a need of transit and 21st century type transit, personal rapid transit. And I don't have anybody here today to testify to this. I have a bill that I've turned in, and hopefully maybe we could get a hearing on a bonding list or bonding requests. But it is a 21st century technologically advanced a car with using a guideway system that needs a very small amount of land, as I recall, 3, 4, 5 feet of right-of-way to run this system using defense level type technology for creating redundancy and safety in running these cars. But they would get on this guideway system and get off at your destination rather than stopping all the places away along the way, making it faster, making it safer, and cheaper to build in places where it makes sense because it's not a heavy rail system and areas where you may not have the mass transit need, it could provide a great promise. And so many of the operating estimations that they've done and presented in the past would be a system that could sustain itself with fares and fees. And so given our connection and it being really a Minnesota product and a University of Minnesota research development, I think we ought to get behind this and incubate and make it happen here in the state. Lastly, in the amendment, we would, to the extent possible, and the company I just visited with their president yesterday, they say they can get most all the parts built in Minnesota. And so if we get out in front of this, they would have a commitment to making as much possible in the state, across the state. Rural manufacturers, metro manufacturers could be a part of this system. And I know Lieutenant Governor Solon, Yvonne Prettner Solon, has had an interest in this. Former Senator Dean Johnson, Senator John Marty, and myself used to be some co-authors or House and Senate authors. And I know there's been an application of an interest at Duluth, possibly with the college campus. Rochester, Mayo, and that community and the needs they may have would be another practical application, or there might be some around the metropolitan counties as well. So we would let that kind of work itself out, but I would like to hear members' feedback and see if we could pursue some focus of our transit dollars and highway funding and transportation dollars towards this project to not only improve our transit options, but also lead to some Minnesota-made jobs.
Thank you, Senator Westrum. Comments, questions, members? Senator Dibble?
Thanks, Madam Chair. And Senator Westrum and I have spoken, and I've been fairly forthright. I'm not yet persuaded that PRT is a good idea. I've actually been out to visit the little mini track that was in a shed out in an industrial park. It's a nearby suburban community. I can't remember where. Senator Jen Olson's invitation. I'll just point out, members, this is a bonding bill, so it would create a higher supermajority threshold for passage of our underlying bill if it were to go on. People have their own thoughts about PRT. Again, I don't want to preordain or direct any members at all how to vote for this particular idea. I will, however, promise Senator Westrum that we will add this bonding presentation to the bonding bill presentations next week if this does not go on. If it does go on, we don't have to do that because here it is. That's kind of where I'm at on this proposal and PRT in general.
Senator Kiffmeyer? Oh, sorry. Other comments or questions, members? Senator Pratt?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Senator Dibble, just so I'm clear on the process, this is just the appropriation piece, and then we'll take up a separate bonding initiative next week, is what I thought I heard you say?
Yes, Senator Dibble? Madam Chair. Senator Pratt, we won't be advancing a bonding bill, per se. As I understand, we'll hear the list of bonding proposals and kind of create a fairly informal process of indicating to the chair of the capital investments committee the ones that we prefer. So we don't send up a bonding bill per se up to full finance, but we hear all the proposals and then we'll sign off on an informal list of the ones we would like to see included in a larger bonding bill.
Thank you for the clarification. I appreciate it.
Additional questions, members? Comments? Senator Senjum.
Madam Chair, I think I know the answer, but I just want to make sure. And to the author, Senator Westrom, do you know kind of bonds? What kind of bonds do you propose these be? A general obligation?
Or Madam Chair, Senator Senjum, that's what we're proposing.
Okay.
Discussing this with council, I'm open to ideas and open to the chair's option of maybe having a hearing request or a hearing on it and flush some of these out. But I'm interested in people's feedback as well.
Madam Chair,
Senator Senjum,
and maybe the Senate Council, and not to suggest I'm thinking in this direction, but just to ask the question, trunk highway bonds, would they work on this?
Ms. Berezovsky?
Madam Chair and Senator Senjum, no, they would not.
Okay.
Senator Westrom, did you have any other comments on this?
Well, Madam Chair members, recognizing the chair's concern about a higher threshold vote, and I don't want to impose that on this bill, and I know going into it that's an issue. Always you need a higher threshold if you include bonding dollars. I would welcome an opportunity to present to the committee a little more detail about this. I welcome visiting one-on-one, and just think we really could embark on a win-win situation for transportation, for transit, another option in our state, and a homegrown technology with the University of Minnesota. And so I appreciate the forum to talk about this, and the chairs have been very congenial to work to talk about this. But, Madam Chair, I'd withdraw this amendment at this time to not do that, and welcome the discussion to continue with our committee.
Senator Westrom withdraws the A5 amendment. Thank you for the helpful comments, and it is an interesting discussion, certainly. Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I would like to move the A3 amendment.
Senator Kiffmeyer moves the A3 amendment, which will be distributed momentarily.
Madam Chair, I do have a testifier, Ms. Pasik. If she could help give more detailed information about this.
All right.
Did I catch her by surprise here and bring it up more quickly? Okay.
Senator Kiffmeyer, would you like to wait until your testifier is available?
Well, I would. I think that would be helpful. I do have another amendment, though, the A6 amendment.
Senator Kiffmeyer, then, would you be willing to withdraw the A3 until your testifier is ready?
Correct, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Kiffmeyer withdraws the A3, and the next one would be... Senator Kiffmeyer, is this the A6 amendment?
Yes, that's correct.
Senator Kiffmeyer offers the A6 amendment.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, the
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Thank you. The A6 amendment has to do with the governor's recommendation of a $5 million annual increase to the operations and management activity. If we notice the poor weather out there today, and so this has more to do with salt and sand and the real basic, I think in the governor's budget book it might be called commodities in his program, to just make sure that we have safety as we are traveling on these roads. This is a real basic core expense, important to every single person who is on those roads to be able to have the amount of salt, sand, and also the gasoline to drive the vehicles. And the governor's recommendation to that operations and maintenance activity, and they've experienced significant inflation in that particular area. So, Madam Chair, that is. Matter of fact, overall maintenance and operations inflation has been over 3% per year since 2005, and that trend is projected to continue in this particular area. So this would help offset some of those expenses, but maybe not in its entirety. So I ask for your support.
Thank you, Senator Kiffmeyer. Are there any questions or comments, members, regarding the A6 amendment? Senator Dibble?
So Madam Chair, you know, I treated this this request similar to the previous one. You know, we saw the amendments. It's a small amount of money. It's an additional, you know, $10 million in maintenance activities. I can see that, but again, I'm trying to be sensitive to the kind of pressure that we're experiencing in the Trunk Highway Fund, the fact that we're getting right up against the ceiling on our debt ratio limit, and we're not providing any space or running room for our state road construction, our Trunk Highway Fund, as well as, the other funds that come out of the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund, county state aid and municipal state aid, to be specific. So that was my underlying thought when we didn't pick up this recommendation. But again, I leave it to the members to make their own decision.
Senator Franzen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Dibble, do we have any indication from the department that there are any issues with safety, that this would make a significant impact in that regard, that this is needed at this time, just to have a good sense of where we're at with the current funding that's in this bill?
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam. I'm sure the agency would say they need this money. I don't know if they've made a claim of safety or not around it. I'm sure they would articulate very eloquently that they need these dollars. So I understand that. We had kind of a package of ideas that you're going to have to try again for in a couple of years.
Additional questions or comments, members?
And Madam Chair, I'd like to have a roll call.
A roll call has been requested, and a roll call will be granted. Thank you, Senator Kiffmeyer.
And just a final comment, Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yeah, this is real core activity, really critical stuff. So I appreciate and I understand all the things, but for the roads that we do have. So I hope members will be able to support this.
Mr. York, would you please call the roll?
Chairman Dibble.
No.
Senator Carlson.
No.
Senator Champion.
No.
Senator Franzen.
No.
Senator Jensen.
Yes.
Senator Kent.
No.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yes.
Senator Miller.
Yes.
Senator Osmick.
Yes.
Senator Peterson. Senator Pratt.
Yes.
Senator Reinert. Senator Rest.
No.
Senator Senjum.
Yes.
Senator Tomasoni. Oh. Senator Westrum. Senator Wieger.
No.
We do have another member.
Oh, Mr. Chair, I have an amendment to offer one.
We're just voting.
Sit down first, John. Sit down first.
We're just voting on one.
Okay, okay, thank you.
Senator Peterson.
It's on the commodities, salt, sand, salt, amendment?
Yes.
Senator Peterson votes yes. We have 8 yes votes and 8 no's, and so the motion fails. Members, additional amendments at this time. Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to offer the A-10 amendment.
Senator Jensen offers the A-10 amendment. Which is currently being distributed. Senator Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, you might recall the testimony we had for the annual permit for overweight vehicles bill that was presented by Senator Rod Skoy. We had lots of testimony, and it allows a road authority to issue an annual permit for a vehicle or a combination of vehicles with 6 or more axles to haul freight. And I believe that this is something that we should include in this bill. It does have a negative fiscal note. So it would be not negatively impacting the budget, and something that we should, I believe, allow our trucks to carry the up to the 97,000-pound loads and stay competitive with our surrounding states. And I'd like you to take it into consideration.
Thank you, Senator Jensen. Senator Dibble?
Thanks. I'll give as much guidance as I did in the previous amendments. This is, we're very familiar with this issue because we just heard it a couple of days ago. Members can absolutely make up their own minds. I'm inclined to support it myself, but it's a contentious issue that folks really need to figure out for themselves.
Senator Franzen?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Dibble, so is that bill that we heard a few days ago, is that traveling on itself, and then would that still it's
Senator Franzen, no, we had laid that on the table.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair.
Senator Osmond.
Roll call vote, please.
A roll call has been requested, and a roll call will be granted. I'm wondering if perhaps Ms. Boyd might be able to answer a reminder on the fiscal note that did go with this one.
Madam Chair and members, the fiscal note for this bill was an additional approximately $1 million a year in additional permit revenue. That would be to the bridge inspection and signing account in the special revenue fund, and that money goes toward review and posting of local bridges. The fiscal note also did assess a loss to the Trunk Highway Fund of $50,000 a year for, I believe, additional bridge maintenance costs.
Thank you. Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to offer my support for the amendment. Certainly, I understand the opposition that we talked about, but I just don't see this as a safety issue. And in fact, I see this as a win for safety because we are allocating the permit money to bridge inspection. And I believe we do have a need for increased bridge inspection and increased bridge safety. We've got trucks traveling with these weights and these lower axles and additional braking today. They're operating safely. So the additional permitting revenue and the additional bridge inspections, I think, are both benefits to us, and I think Senator Jensen's on the right path for moving this forward.
Additional questions or comments, members? Senator Westrom.
Madam Chair, two comments. One, are we going to hear from anybody in the public on this or not?
We already did.
And two, I would offer my support for this. I think it's a reasonable measure. I think we leave Minnesota as an island by not doing this, or leave us in the behind of progress and catching up with what our trucks are capable of doing, what we can improve for job creation and progress in our state. And we've got all kinds of exemptions on the book, which is a clear indication that the law has been broken. I have been here now going on 17 years. It seems like every year or every other year or every third year we have a overweight or heavyweight or extra weights task force or proposal, and it's going to be studied, and never anything happens except some exemptions come out of it every couple of years, and we give it to the farmers and the ag groups, and then the logging, and then other commodity groups, and other garbage haulers and milk haulers. And I just think this would be a more uniformed way. It would ensure we actually distribute the weight on more axles, I think we ought to support this, and I think there's actually progress and economic development in our state that will happen because we passed this, because industry and those in the transportation world that need transportation as part of their business model are waiting to do business in our state, depending upon what we do here.
Thank you, Senator Westrum. And to answer your first question and address it, we did have extended testimony on this issue. I believe it was last week, just a few days ago. So if I don't know that we need to revisit it again at this point, but Senator Osmek?
I'd like to lift my roll call vote, please.
Okay. The roll call request has been withdrawn. Any other questions or comments, members? Seeing none, then, all in favor of the Jensen A-10 amendment, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion passes.
Division.
Division is requested. All in favor, please raise your hands. All opposed, please raise your hands. With 11 yeses and no votes, the motion carries. Additional amendments, members? Senator Peterson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'd like to offer the A3 amendment because we have a testify available here to speak to this issue.
Okay, Senator Peterson offers the A3 amendment, which will be distributed as I speak a little slowly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I can talk to this amendment while that's
Senator
being distributed.
Peterson?
My hope is that you'll call up Matt Zelli to talk in terms of this, in favor of this amendment. What this amendment does is allow, direct the Department of Transportation to use a 20-year design cycle life on roads. These are roads that are some of our worst roads that are in the worst shape that we have in the state. And it would direct the DOT to use a little bit longer life cycle in terms of the pavement used in that manner.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. And in my oversight, this was the A3 amendment that had originally been offered and withdrawn by Senator Kiffmeyer. So thank you. And to our testifier, welcome. And will you please introduce yourself?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Matt Zeller. I am the Executive Director of the Concrete Paving Association of Minnesota. And wanted to come up and state our support for this bill. Mainly, again, what it does, a lot of discussion here today about the lack of funds that we have or don't have. And a large portion of our roadway system is in poor condition. And when we go out and we do a lot of the repairs on the roads, we do a relatively short-term fix, which I don't believe is necessarily the best use of our funds. I think we could do a more bang for your buck type repairs, but we'd have to get in more life out of those repairs. And we think a 20-year repair would help get more bang for the buck. We may have to sacrifice some miles of road that get reconstructed or covered up each year, but in the end, you're going to get a longer-term repair, which is going to give you, like you said, a more bang for your buck. And again, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions that anybody had for me on that.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Zeller. Senator Rest.
Senator Peterson, where did he go?
I'm sorry, Madam Chair.
He's on his way back to his chair.
Sorry, Madam Chair.
Senator Peterson, was this a bill, and was it heard in committee?
No, we did not have a specific bill on this issue. This relates specifically to some information. We believe that the paving office is beginning to collect some information out at Minn Road.
And Madam Chair, then I want to hear from, if we're going to start hearing from advocates for amendments, I want to hear from the department on every single one.
Thank you, Senator Rest.
So I'd like to hear from the department on this.
I see some of our MnDOT representatives here. Is somebody available to speak on this issue? Mr. Peterson, welcome. Please introduce yourself.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Scott Peterson from MnDOT. I understand the issue that they're trying to address with this amendment, but the department would oppose this amendment because it directs us to do things that aren't necessarily consistent, in our view, with the best strategy for preserving the trunk highway system pavement across the state of Minnesota. And we have a pavement management system that tracks the deterioration of our pavements across the state and provides us with a list of recommended projects that provide the greatest benefit to the system for the amount of money that we have available to spend in each fiscal year. What Mr. Zeller said about the fact that we have invested a fair amount in short-term fixes is true because according to our pavement modeling, and again, the modeling is based upon research and our actual experience on the highway with the deterioration of pavements, it provides that approach provides us with the best opportunity to preserve the pavement in the system at the minimum life cycle cost, so the minimum cost of the state over the life of the pavement. If we go to fixes that are recommended in this bill, we will do fewer miles. Those miles that don't get fixed then will deteriorate. The more deterioration there is, the faster the deterioration occurs over time, and so the more expensive it is to repair it. So you get on a steep part of the long-run cost curve. The pavement deterioration goes like that. It kind of falls off the edge, and there's a corresponding long-run cost curve that goes like that. You get on the steep part of the curve, even a year's delay can dramatically increase the cost of repairing a particular segment of pavement. And so sometimes we come out with a set of recommended fixes that are maybe a little unbalanced in the terms of the concrete paving industry, but we believe are in the best interest of the state of Minnesota.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Senator Peterson?
Madam Chair, and this is an issue that oftentimes I think legislators are well aware of. As elected officials, we're held responsible for decisions that state agencies make, and this is an example where, as legislators, we have no impact and no input on those decisions. And this is an effort to take a state agency in a direction to build roads and use pavements that will have a longer life cycle. Part of the challenge is that we work on these two-year budgets, and so we're using a substandard pavement that lasts a shorter period of time. This is an effort to certainly change some attitudes and take a state agency in a direction that we believe has save the taxpayers money in the long run by building roads that last longer. I would encourage you to support the amendment.
Senator Franzen.
Madam Chair, I ask for a roll call, please.
A roll call has been requested, and a roll call will be granted. Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Madam Chair. This issue has been around for a while. This is the perennial asphalt versus pavement war that we find ourselves in. It's hard for us to sort that out as legislators. I'm sympathetic to the arguments. Let's build roads that last longer. We know that that's more expensive from the outset. We know we don't have any additional dollars to do more expensive construction. Although there is an argument that goes that concrete is approaching similar prices to asphalt. I understand that argument. We do have, and hopefully everyone turned in their Legislative Audit Commission ballots, because we do have the potential to have the legislative auditor to examine this issue. We've tried that for a couple of years. You know, while I am sympathetic to this, and I've indicated that to the proponents in my office, I feel like, you know, I just don't have enough information, enough data. I'm worried about additional pressure on the Trunk Highway Fund in the short run, as I've articulated. In the past, this might have been a good idea if we were able to do the vision bill that we had had hoped for at one time in this committee. At this point in time, I'm not comfortable with the 83 amendment.
Thank you. Senator Westrum?
Madam Chair, and just to my good friend Senator Peterson, can you talk to me a little bit about anything they've done to improve the noise of concrete? I know there's a discussion on this, but boy, I tell you, you can go down the freeway and you can just about pinpoint to the inch where concrete starts and tar ends. And so I raise that as a legitimate concern because there's times you're trying to talk on your cell phone literally and you can't because the road's too noisy. So I just raise that as a concern. I'm empathetic to this idea, but I have those concerns.
Thank you. Any comments, questions, members? Senator Peterson?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'll just withdraw the amendment in consideration.
Senator Peterson withdraws the A3 amendment. Senator Franzen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the A9 amendment.
Senator Franzen moves the A9 amendment.
And this should be non-controversial. It's just a miss in this delete all amendment, which missed part of what original language that I had in one portion of my bill that was included in this delete all amendment. So it just basically adds the appropriations are available until expended, just to clarify. On page 17, line 19.
Madam Chair, what's the issue?
It is the issue is the youth intervention programs.
Under the subdivision 11, the Office of Justice Programs.
Madam Chair.
Senator Dibble.
This is fine. It's a technical amendment.
Thank you, Senator Dibble. Any other comments or questions on the A9 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? The motion passes. Additional amendments?
Madam Chair.
Senator Pratt.
A quick question. I'd like to go to page 15. It's not page 15. Sorry, I've got you back to the A2 amendment, or the A12 amendment.
A2?
No, A12. The A12 tells me where I need to go in the A2. Sorry. I'd like to go to page 16. Senator Dibble, it looks like, and I just want to clarify, we are cutting $125,000 each year in the A12 amendment would cut $125,000 each year for the forensic lab equipment at the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension and cut $200,000 each year for the increase in staff. Am I reading that correctly?
Senator Dibble?
Madam Chair, this would be new spending, but yes, we're not picking that up.
Thank you, Senator Dibble.
Senator Pratt? Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to offer the A13 amendment, and I apologize, members. I had an amendment. The A12 changed what we wanted to do, so I had to redraft it. So thank you for your patience.
Senator Pratt offers the A-13 amendment, which is being distributed.
The A-13 effectively requires the Metropolitan Council to it reduces the expenditure of the Metropolitan Council from the general fund by $15 million, $5 million in year one, $10 million in year two, and directs the Metropolitan Council that they should adjust their fare schedule in order to recoup those monies. What that would then do is allow us to refund these initiatives through the Bureau of in the Department of Public Services that have been cut. This, to me, these additional expenditures are very important for our state and directly to public safety. The Metropolitan Council indicated last Friday that they regularly look at their fare structure, that they look at it every 3 to 5 years, and that the last fare adjustment was made in 2008. So we're at that five-year point. So, members, I ask that while this doesn't do anything to, you know, for Senator Dibble's being over target, I think what it does do is show that we do have some flexibility in the Metropolitan Council to bring in some additional fare revenue into the equation and offset some of the or allow us to do some additional spending under the current parameters for public safety.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Senator Pratt. And Senator Pratt puts his finger right on the dilemma of the bill that's in front of us, and that is, you know, choices and priorities and the circumstance that we find ourselves in, particularly with respect to our general fund budget. I would speak against the A-13 amendment for a couple of reasons. One is, even if we do succeed at finding the additional $17 million that we have yet to account for, that would represent a substantial cut to the Metropolitan Council Transit operations. We're still not accounting for additional pressure, and maybe Mr. Shetland can help me remember the numbers, because we already have a gap identified for transitway operations, $18 million for one of our lines, and is it another 10 for another 8? You know, so that's over and above 18. The 17 that we have yet to account for. The you know, that either the Met Council is going to have to figure out, or we're going to have to figure out somewhere down the path a little bit. You know, the legislature, I don't know that they've ever helped themselves to mandating a fare increase. We know that we have one of the most efficient transit systems in the country with a higher fare box recovery than most others in the country, certainly in the top tier. And we know that, you know, a lot of the folks who pay transit fares are folks for whom transportation represents a larger proportion of their income than the rest of us, because they don't make as much money as the rest of us. So it represents, you know, whenever we do fare increases, it's a huge, huge hit to individual and family budgets because these are low-income folks. And we also know that when we do a fare increase, which the Met Council does on a regular basis, and they're probably about due to do one, we have a fall-off in transit ridership because people just can't take that hit to their family for their family budget. So basically what we're doing is we're asking poor folks to pay for these other priorities in the bill, which I recognize are in high priorities. I'm not happy about this bill. You know, I've had conversation with the Commissioner of Public Safety. I've apologized to her for this bill. I'm not pleased to be the chief author of this bill. So appreciate Senator Pratt offering the amendment and calling out the conversation.
Senator Pratt.
Well, thank you, Senator Dibble, and I appreciate that because I know that, you know, over the last few days there's been quite a bit of work done, and all you have to do is read a newspaper to find out the type of pressure that you've been facing. but we do have, I think we do have a real need in this area that I'd like to preserve for now and make sure that, because as I understand the A-12, there was no change in the A-2 for the Metropolitan Council allocation. This would say that we're recognizing that shortfall in their funding, but asking them to make up most of it, $5 million year one, $10 million year two, also understanding that they need some lead time in this first year of the biennium to get things up and running to cover the lion's share of those costs for themselves so that we can continue to keep our public safe and to support our law enforcement officers particularly in their laboratory functions. And Madam Chair, I would appreciate a roll call vote.
A roll call has been requested, and a roll call will be granted. Senator Westra.
Madam Chair, and I guess to put a little perspective on this, Representative Pratt, I think what you might do is raise my 50-cent fare a quarter or some other number. I got to say that's a fairly reasonable amount, I think, getting on the bus. I use the bus a fair amount when I'm down here getting to and from work. 50 cents from downtown St. Paul to the Capitol is a reasonable rate. I thought it was cheap when I moved downtown, and I think it's still cheap. And so it's much cheaper than a taxi or anything else. So I think your proposal would be time to examine it. And I think most bus riders know they're getting a good bargain. And, you know, if that downtown St. Paul rate went up a quarter, I think people would acknowledge that and recognize it's still a bargain. I'd still ride the bus in.
Senator Dibble. Well,
Madam Chair, for most folks, a peak hour fare to work is $2.25 or $3 for Express.
Where you
so,
ride for 50
you know,
cents.
It's not a small amount of money. I take the bus a lot myself. I buy the Go To card, so I get a volume discount, if you will, because you get a 10% discount if you buy the Go To card and plunk down $50 or $100 at a time. But keep in mind that this is a substantial hit to a lot of folks in their budgets. Maybe we don't understand how significant an additional couple bucks a day is, but it is a lot for a lot of folks. And I don't know if it's still true, but our fare increases were outpacing inflation fairly significantly for quite a while there. This does not, as Senator Pratt described, we still have a $17 million problem. This does not solve that. This just adds to that. And then we have an additional $28 million bucks that we're still looking for. That's a gap in operations for Metro Transit that we don't even talk about in this bill.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Westrom, I appreciate your comments. I'm not a fare expert. We've got experts at the Met Council that will decide the right way to be able to do that to minimize the impact to those folks who rely on it, and to make sure that those who it maintains ridership and yet provides the necessary funds. I might also say that this goes a little bit beyond restoring all the cuts. It's I believe I'm not exactly sure of all the numbers anymore, but I believe the $15 million exceeds what was being cut from DPS and therefore does provide some relief towards the $18 million, $17 million in target that we still need to find.
Just need to ride the bus.
From my area, it's $3 from Shakopee Prior Lake all the way up to downtown Minneapolis on an express. Many of our businesses subsidize ridership to encourage ridership, and so I think it's fairly reasonable. I'll let the Met Council decide the right program the right increases to make, but I think we do have to put some accountability on Met Council to increase their fares and increase their fare box recovery. And so I would encourage members to support the amendment.
Senator Osmick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to point out in support of Senator Pratt's amendment, on your spreadsheet on line 136, the Metropolitan Council is receiving a $51 million increase, if I'm reading this correctly. I could be, I mean, someone can correct me in going across this biennium. It's going from 78 in the previous biennium to 129. It's a $51 million increase, I think, if I'm reading this correctly. Senator Dibble, you can correct me if I'm not.
Senator Dibble? What line are you looking at?
I'm on line 136. You're looking at under previous biennium, 12-13, it's listed at $78 million. And then in the biennium, fourth column from the right, 14-15, it would be $129 million, correct?
He's in the budget book.
Well, Senator Osmick, if you recall, last year we again took substantially from the Met Council, again another gift to the general fund. And then the Met Council was directed to reprogram and reprioritize dollars from within its own existing sources. So that's just simply a restoration of base funding. So, you know, we've been taking from the Met Council. So this isn't an increase per se to the Met Council. This is simply a restoration to the base. Maybe Mr. Shetton can help us understand what we did in the last cycle. But, you know, we...
Forgive me for not being...
made a substantial cut, forced the Met Council to do a number of things, including taking from the opt-out reserves, a really popular idea that was, and some other things. So,
Mr. Chair, welcome to the committee. Members, thanks for the opportunity to speak. My name is Judd Shetton. I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Metropolitan Council. And related to the general fund number that you see, it really is a restoration of our base from the previous biennium. We took a one-time reduction of roughly $52 million that was made up from a variety of sources, the first being a agreement from the County Transit Improvement Board to pay 75% of the operating costs for transitways. There was a freeze of the opt-out provider MBEST, a freeze at the 2011 number of the of the 3.74% of the 21.5% of the motor vehicle sales tax that they receive. There was also a reduction of the opt-out provider reserves that were beyond the minimum or maximum minimum balance of roughly 50 to 75%. There were a number of those that were in excess of 100 and almost and over 200%. And then it was also a called on the council in order to do reserves, use reserves and federal monies in order to fill that one-time gap. It was also negotiated that the budget or the base budget would be restored back to the previous budget numbers. So this is not a windfall by any means. It's actually restoring us back to our previous base.
Thank you, Mr. Shetland. Senator Osmick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to Mr. Shetton. Obviously, I wasn't here last session, so I was not necessarily aware of those. However, that being said, there are many cases in here at the legislature where if we do take a cut that we maybe don't restore back to 100% immediately. You know, I guess I look at the budget, and I was very happy in many parts of this budget, but then I got to the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension and saw what happened to the crime history system, crime reporting system, the lab equipment, lab staffing, fingerprint maintenance. You know, we're dealing with, you know, we've been dealing with gun bills here in the legislature. One of the most important advances that we can make in providing public safety here is to update a 20-year-old database system, which we heard testimony on previously. And that we're talking about creating a 21st century system for, I think, a bargain basement price of $4 or $5 million, and we can't seem to find it. So I appreciate Senator Pratt's effort and the fact that we need to start working in that direction. Otherwise, we're going to be working still with stone knives and bearskins for our public safety system. And this BCA system is the one that does criminal background checks. This is the one, if people remember, we had a young gentleman who was a convicted murderer under the juvenile system, was able to get his hands on all kinds of weapons because the BCA system was not up to snuff. This is the kind of criminal that could impact our schools, could impact our society. And we're not going at the root cause of the problem, which is getting a 21st century solution. So while I respect the chair and his thoughts in creating the budget, I just seem to think that there has to be a way that Met Council can at least take a ramp up as opposed to taking an immediate restoration while we can put money into these initiatives, which are only for the next biennium.
Any additional questions or comments, members? Seeing none, Mr. York, if you will please take the roll.
Chairman Dibble.
No.
Senator Carlson.
No.
Senator Champion.
No.
Senator Franzen.
No.
Senator Jensen.
No.
Senator Kent.
No.
Senator Kiffmeyer.
Yes.
Senator Miller.
Yes.
Senator Osmick.
Yes.
Senator Peterson.
Yes.
Senator Pratt.
Yes.
Senator Reiner. Senator Rest. Senator Senjum.
Yes.
Senator Tomasoni.
No.
Senator Westrum.
Yes.
Senator Weger.
No.
Senator Rust votes no.
With 7 votes yes, 9 no, the motion is not adopted. Additional amendments or questions or comments, members? Senator Peterson?
Madam Chair, in light of the Department of Transportation's testimony on the pavement issue, I was hoping to ask them a question about Section 16 in terms of how they're going to handle that. Have them come up.
If there's someone from the Department of Transportation who would be willing to answer Senator Peterson's question, please. Mr. Peterson.
Mr. Peterson, this is a section that relates to the transportation infrastructure hiring and recruitment issue, and there's significant costs there that you're going to be asked to consider and that you may implement, I think is the key word there that came out in the testimony. Is the department in favor of this section of the bill?
Mr. Peterson.
Madam Chair and Senator Peterson, the department does not have a position on this particular section. I understand your concern about the impact of the cost, but the language is permissive. I do have to say it. These are the types of recommendations we like to see come from our DB and Workforce Collaborative, because that's the group that we've established and had working for several years to kind of improve the participation in our contracts by disadvantaged business enterprises and more employees from some of these disadvantaged groups working on our projects. But nevertheless, we don't have a position on this bill, I don't know that it automatically leads to an increase in cost if we try to increase participation on these. I mean, there have been times when efforts made by our bidders have been insufficient to try and achieve the participation rate we've asked for, and we have occasionally paid more in individual projects, but I don't know that we have evidence that there's a systematic increase in every construction project as a result of efforts of this nature.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I'd be interested in hearing a response from the Metropolitan Council as well in regards to Section 15, if Mr. Shett and it would be interested or willing to comment on that. Is there anybody available yet?
Mr. Shetland?
Members, Section 15, again, is the transit way community engagement language in Section 15, where it instructs, again, the Metropolitan Council may, for the purposes, include feasibility studies, alternative analysis, pre-planning, environmental analysis, land acquisitions, and so forth there, and are some of the things that certainly add to the cost of projects. And we've heard the chair talk more than once now about this budget and our disappointment in not being able to do a number of things, and some concern that the Metropolitan Council is are you guys in support of this section in terms of any potential costs that may add to your projects?
Mr. Shetland?
Mr. Chair and Senator Peterson, related to the language, it is permissive, and I apologize if I'm not able to give you a definitive answer, but since it is permissive, we are relatively neutral on the language at this point, and I would have to continue this conversation with the administration and with the chair of the council. But this is not a council initiative coming forward, but as long as the language is permissive, it is it's something that we'd have to continue having a conversation about. So I apologize for not having a yes or no answer for you, but I just can't provide that at this time.
Well, I think Madam Chair and Mr. Shetland, I think if I'm hearing you right when you say it's permissive, it means you may not do it. I think that's what I heard from the department as well. If there's additional costs associated with it or a challenge in terms of adding cost to that project.
Mr. Shetland?
Again, Madam Chair and Senator Peterson, that is a decision that that the council would have to make, and I don't have the authority to speak on their behalf of what they would do related to it, but I do understand that there could potentially be an additional cost to this, but again, that would be, it's permissive at that point, and that have to be a decision that the council and the members would have to decide.
Thank you.
Any additional questions or comments? Is there additional testimony from members of the audience? Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself.
Madam Chair, committee members, for the record, my name is Tim Warkey. I represent the Associated General Contractors. I'm just going to be brief because I've addressed this issue before, and I just want to, in front of the committee, and I want to make it clear that I've worked and intend to continue working with the local groups that are the impetus behind this language, and I think it can be managed in such a way that it is workable because it is permissive. I would only point out a couple of things that I think need some work, and that is on, at least in my copy that came off the internet, on line 28.25, where it talks about monitoring progress on meeting goals, talks about reports. I would ask who is going to generate those reports and where is that data going to come from. I'm just concerned about, since it's broadly constructed to talk about transportation infrastructure, and my interpretation, that would mean if Maurer County had a project, they may be having to generate a report about where the workforce is coming from within the zip codes from that county. And I think we can work through that. But I'm not sure that the advocates for this want transportation infrastructure broadly defined to mean highways in that respect. I'm not speaking for them, but that's the conversation I had earlier this evening.
You
Thank you, Mr. Warkey. Welcome to the committee, and please introduce yourself.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Sherry Minion. I'm going to speak to two pieces in the bill. First, I'm going to speak on behalf of the Minnesota State Fire Chiefs Association, as well as the Fire Marshals Association of Minnesota, the Minnesota Chapter of the Arson Investigators, and the Fire Departments Association. On behalf of all of those organizations, we want to thank you for the appropriation in this bill, for the Fire Marshal Division, for firefighter training, and for the hazardous material and chemical assessment teams. This is the first year that the funds collected from the fire safety account have fully been appropriated for the purpose intended, so we thank you. The 18,000 volunteers and paid on-call firefighters rely on these funds, and as appreciative as they are for these revenues, just want to let you know that this doesn't entirely solve the needs. We invest no general fund dollars in our fire protection service in Minnesota, and that although these funds are extremely helpful, to date it provides about $100 per firefighter to the cost of the basic training, which is about $1,000 a year. We know that there'll be some slight growth in these funds over the next several years, which will help. In addition, volunteer firefighters are receiving money locally. Local governments invest in them, and then the firefighters who volunteer also volunteer their time raising money for equipment that is used in their service. So locally, this is still an issue ongoing for the fire service. Again, we thank you very much for the appropriation. It's extremely helpful, and we are thankful.
Thank you, Ms. Munyon.
Madam Chair, if I may, I'd like to comment on the transit and transportation portion of this bill now. I want to thank the committee members and the authors who had been working on increasing funding statewide. We are, of course, very disappointed that there will be no growth in transit funding throughout the state. I represent the Minnesota Public Transit Association, who are the operators statewide. In greater Minnesota in particular, we have enormous needs outstate. We have two counties who have no transit at all. We have eight counties who have transit only in a municipal area. The bill that had been introduced and heard and laid over for consideration in the omnibus bill would have raised about two-thirds to three-fourths of the revenue needed to expand service in greater Minnesota. We also know that we have about a $300 million need in the metro area, and our metro area providers and citizens, we're also counting on that money. We stand ready to work with you through the rest of the session to see if a solution can be reached, and if not, to continue working with you in the hopes that we can pass a multi-bill next year.
Thank you, Ms. Munyon. Welcome to the committee, and please introduce yourself.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. My name is Ethan Fawley. I'm the Transportation and Built Environment Director at Fresh Energy, a St. Paul-based nonprofit. I have a handout. Fresh Energy is a part of the Transit for a Stronger Economy Coalition, a coalition of 51 organizations and businesses that are supporting urgent investment in transit statewide. We echo the sentiments offered by Ms. Munyon that we thank the committee for their work on this urgent matter and stand ready to be there in support this year or next. And I want to also mention that our coalition is supportive of a multimodal bill, a bill that not only addresses the urgent needs of transit across the state, but also invests in road and bridge needs as well as bicycle and pedestrian needs. We know that without new investment, that projects that all of us want in this room, your constituents want, will not be possible. We cannot build most of the new projects that we're talking about with new investment. We cannot run some of the investments that we are making, essential investments in Central Corridor, the things we're talking about for Southwest Light Rail Line. We do not have the funds to operate all of those right now. That's a critical problem that our state, our metropolitan region is facing, and our coalition, along with many other groups and the hundreds of thousands of Minnesotans that our organization represents, will continue to push for these needs. And we will be there to fight with you for these needs because we need these projects. We can't afford to fall further behind. We need the jobs that these projects will create, and we can't afford to wait while costs increase and people stay with while needing work. So I urge all of you to continue to work. We will continue to work, and let's find a solution to these urgent needs. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Faldi. Welcome to the committee, and please introduce yourself.
My name is Amanda Dewar, and I'm here representing the U.S. Highway 14 Partnership, which is a coalition of 18 local government entities and 45 businesses and organizations that are united behind the goal of completing a four-lane corridor along Highway 14 between New Ulm and Rochester. Our organization has been before this and other legislative committees several times this session, and in many prior years, highlighting the safety concerns and economic deficiencies of Highway 14. Though our stories of lives and economic opportunity lost on Highway 14 seem to resonate, the regional centers served by Highway 14, Rochester, Owatonna, Waseca, Greater Mankato, and New Ulm, have been repeatedly told that there are insufficient transportation resources available to complete this important economic corridor. That's why I'm here today to express the Highway 14 Partnership's strong opposition to the lights-on, status quo transportation budget that is now before the committee. For over 40 years, our communities and citizens have been promised that a four-lane highway is coming and told that we just need to wait until the funding is available. Legislators and advocates have all been in this committee to hear that the needs facing all modes of Minnesota's transportation system greatly outweigh the available resources. That's why the status quo should not be acceptable, not for Highway 14 and not for anyone else. Status quo funding levels do nothing to reduce Highway 14's fatality rate, which is 1.5 times higher than the statewide average. Lights on funding does not fix Highway 14's dangerous intersections with 3 times the expected fatal crash rates. Accepting the status quo does not change the fact that Highway 14 already has heavy commercial traffic 1.5 times above the statewide average, and further population and industrial growth projected for our region will only render this road more insufficient. No, members, a refusal to invest in Minnesota's transportation infrastructure and important corridor projects like Highway 14 only risks additional lives, economic development opportunities, and makes these projects all the more expensive in the years to come. The U.S. Highway 14 Partnership was fully prepared to be a partner in the drive for additional transportation resources. Our local government officials and business leaders along Highway 14 have publicly advocated for increased investment by testifying in committee, reaching out to newspaper, radio, and television media, developing local grassroots public relations efforts, attending community forums, and contacting legislators, the governor, and MnDOT about the regional importance of this project. In fact, over 200 people crowded the room of Governor Dayton's town hall meeting in North Mankato last night, imploring him to support a gas tax increase so progress could be made on Highway 14. Sadly, those requests were rejected, leaving us where we are today. I know this bill does not meet the statewide transportation vision that you've been working so hard for, Mr. Chair. That being so, I urge this committee to reject the status quo legislation that is before you and pass a comprehensive transportation package that provides the support needed to complete important economic corridor projects like Highway 14. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dewar. Welcome to the committee, and please introduce yourself.
Thank you. Good evening, Chair and members. My name is Abby Breideck with the Association of Minnesota Counties, and we would also like to express our disappointment with the size of this bill, this Lights On proposal. We want to thank the Chair and other members who have been active. We know that you've worked very hard to try to put something together that we can actually move us forward this session, but for various reasons that doesn't seem to have come together yet today. I want to share with you that the Association of Minnesota Counties have been working with all our county governments over the last couple weeks to pass resolutions in support of additional funding. And as of this afternoon, we have over 50 counties boards that have passed this resolution. The meeting last night in North Mankato that Ms. Dura was referencing, there was an article in the Free Press that described how county commissioner kicked off the transportation conversation by reading one of these resolutions from Blue Earth. We will continue to work on these and take direction from whomever would give it to us as to who we can talk to, who we can influence, who we need to tell that we need more funding. As the counties stand today with this lights-on bill, with the governor's budget recommendations and some of the bonding proposals that have come out, we're pretty close to $0 for new funding with counties. And as with an identified need of over $250 million per year of a funding gap, we also feel like we're at a loss and don't know how we can move forward with some of these issues. So I think you've heard a lot of our other opinions and other testimonies, so I'll just thank you again for your effort and questions if you have them.
Thank you, Ms. Bryduck. Welcome, Ms. Donahoe. Please introduce yourself.
Thank you. I'm Margaret Donahoe. I'm the director of the Minnesota Transportation Alliance. And thank you for the opportunity to testify. We also, on behalf of the 250 organizations of the Minnesota Transportation Alliance, would like to express our disappointment that this bill does not move the state forward in terms of funding our transportation system, which is a state asset worth billions of dollars that we think the state has a real responsibility to maintain. And you've heard from the Transportation Finance Advisory Committee that studied the transportation system. We are short $450 million a year just to maintain the roads, bridges, pavement that we have in this state. So every year we're falling behind, and we're short $100 million a year just to maintain the transit service that we have in the state. So if we don't increase funding, we will fall behind. We will have to cut transit service. We will have more roads and bridges becoming deficient and pavement quality deteriorating. We will lose economic opportunities, and everything becomes more expensive. Every year projects are delayed. The cost increases an average of 10%. So you add 10% to the cost of every project every time it gets delayed. And one of the things I just wanted to mention briefly is that, you know, every state almost in the union is dealing with this problem of significant transportation funding shortfalls, hundreds of millions of dollars, sometimes billions of dollars a year that they are short. But there are states that are taking action. And one of the states in particular, Virginia, their governor, Republican Governor Robert McDonnell, just worked to get a major transportation funding package passed that actually replaces the excise tax on fuel with the sales tax on fuel. And this action has been noted all around the country and even received the attention of Moody's bond rating company for the fact that they took this action, because now they will have a sustainable, growing source of revenue to take care of their highways in the state of Virginia. In Wyoming, just 2 months ago, the state increased its gas tax by 10 cents a gallon. Again, their Republican governor, Matt Mead, signed this bill into law because they were falling behind in meeting their road needs, and they understand the economic importance of this to their state. Maryland is also taking action to, again, look at the idea of replacing the fuel tax, the excise tax, with a sales tax on fuel. And that is moving through thanks to the leadership of Maryland's governor, Martin O'Malley, in moving that proposal forward. In Missouri, their legislature is working on a proposal for a constitutional amendment that would increase the state's sales tax by a penny and dedicate all of that revenue to transportation. In Pennsylvania, Governor Tom Corbett is proposing a major transportation funding proposal that, again, has to do with looking at a sales tax or increasing their fuel tax at the wholesale rate or level. So that will provide a significant increase in funding for their highways. In Michigan, Governor Rick Snyder put out a proposal in his State of the State address for $1.2 billion annually in additional funding for roads. And again, he was looking at their gasoline tax and replacing that with other sales tax revenue and allowing local governments to use a local registration tax. Iowa, there's a big movement in Iowa right now to increase Iowa's gas tax by 10 cents a gallon. So other states are taking action. They are moving ahead. They understand how important this is to their states' economies. And the states that take action will be much more likely to attract businesses to their states, to see their economies grow, than states like Minnesota that will continue to fall behind. We will continue to delay projects that we all know are needed. So we would really urge you to continue to work with the administration to try and find some way to increase funding for both highways and transit statewide. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Donahoe.
Madam Chair, committee members, again, good afternoon. My name is Tim Warkey from the Associated General Contractors. With regard to the bill, let me first say to the chairman and members of this committee that have worked so hard to try to come up with a package that would be balanced and would invest in our future. Thank you for your efforts. We are very supportive of that and continue to remain so. However, that said, we are disappointed with a lights-on funding bill. We do not think it addresses the needs of the state that have been so clearly laid out to this committee. The pending cliff of investment that is staring us down the barrel here in the coming few years is not going to go away. It is only going to get more expensive. You heard testimony this afternoon on specific amendments to the bill related to pavements and how fixes do not get cheaper. They only get more expensive. Ms. Donahoe just talked about the inflationary aspect. Those things are all going to come and visit on this state, on this economy, if we do not address this problem from a comprehensive point of view. My final message I've left with you before in this committee, there is no better time to make these investments than now. We are the beneficiary in this state of a very competitive bidding marketplace that is yielding very competitive quotes for work. The inputs for that work are very stable right now in the markets with respect to things like steel and concrete and other construction inputs. But I want to address the issue of construction labor, because we also benefit in this state from the efficiency of a very skilled, a very highly trained and very dedicated construction workforce, and that workforce is leaving. It is leaving both in demographics, which are a challenge going forward, but it is leaving for opportunity in other states. And I think you've heard testimony about what is going on in other states around us, like North Dakota, and you will find that the growth and the boom and the development there, that our construction workforce is leaving, and they may not return. Very transitory workforce, and if they go where the opportunity is. And so there is no better time than now to invest. We stand with our partners in this coalition for transportation investment, ready to work with you on a balanced package should that come forward, and we hope to see that materialize. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Warkey. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Robert Tennyson, attorney in Minneapolis, and I represent the I-35W Solutions Alliance. And we are disappointed also in the scope of this bill. I pointed out to several of you that and you've heard from others, that the needs are exceedingly great. The 35W Solutions Alliance is simply a joint powers board of Hennepin, Scott, and Dakota counties, and the cities from Minneapolis, Richfield, Bloomington, Burnsville, Savage, Lakeville, and Elko-Newmarket. And in that corridor, we have two major projects that need to be done, and they're going to require money. We're not trying to jump the queue, but I want to point out that they, by themselves, over $500 million. One is the reconstruction of the Lake Street interchange and the bus station. It also includes a rebuilding of the roads, flyover bridges at 94 downtown. We also need to replace the interchange at 35 and 494. That includes a building inline bus station at American Boulevard. Those two projects are over $500 million. In order for us to have bus rapid transit in that corridor, we have to have those inline stations. It doesn't work otherwise. Highway 35W at Lake Street has over 205,000 vehicles per day crossing that point. We also have 14,000 bus riders a day, working day, at that point. That's a lot of traffic. It's the most heavily traveled route in the state. Now, we inherited a road system from our ancestors. That was our inheritance. And I go back a long way because as a young college student, I also worked construction. And I remember helping build Interstate 90 down by Worthington, between Worthington and Laverne. That road is now quite old. It's been a long time. It's been 50 years since I worked down there. We used up our inheritance for 20 years. We didn't do anything about it. We lived off what our ancestors gave us. For 20 years, we didn't increase funding one dime. From 1988 to 2008, there wasn't any increase. That 20 cents that was levied in 1988 was worth 12 cents in 2008. So we owe it to the next generation to maintain this system for the future. You know, I don't think this generation wants to be called the selfish generation, but by God, we've been using up the resources that somebody else gave us and leaving the kids with an empty bank. Now, when I was in legislation, many of you know I was, generally, transportation was a decision made by rural legislators, and every couple of years they'd come in and ask for a penny or two to keep the system running. We paid on a cash and carry basis. We stopped doing that. We started borrowing money. Now, I'm not necessarily opposed to borrowing money, but I'd rather see us on a cash and carry basis by raising the funds necessary to maintain the system, to build the system out for current use and for future use. So I think it's very incumbent upon us and the legislature and the governor to recognize the fact that we've used up the system. We've used up what was given to us, and we're not replacing it. And I hope you all feel guilty and do something about raising money, but anyway, we, as the 35W Solutions Alliance, support a balanced transportation system that funds transit and roads. And I pointed out the number of people and trucks and cars that use the route that my members represent. Be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Tennyson. Is there any additional testimony at this time? Please come forward.
I know.
Welcome to the committee, and please introduce yourself.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. My name is Will Schroer. I'm the Economic Development Director for the Minneapolis Regional Chamber of Commerce, and join my colleagues in expressing disappointment in a lights-on bill, but want to add to that by reminding the committee that the chamber and its 1,000 members have endorsed actually raising taxes to pay for the investment that we are asking you to allow us to make. We are sympathetic to our greater Minnesota colleagues and encourage the committee to find the revenue necessary to make those investments. We're on record as saying we are willing to and, in fact, endorse and will back committee member votes for raising taxes on the metro to make the investment in the metro that we need to bring jobs and to serve jobs and to connect workers with jobs in the metro. We understand the dynamic that's at work here. We're sympathetic to your challenge and want to work with you to overcome that challenge. But just to remind you right now that We are endorsing an increase in taxes in the metro up to a half-cent sales tax to fund an investment in regional transportation that would return billions in return on investment to the region, which would benefit not only the region and our businesses and our members, but the entire state as we pay taxes to the entire state. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shore. Is there additional testimony?
I have a question.
Senator Rest.
Senator Dibble.
Yes, Senator Rest.
Are you going to vote for this bill?
Senator Dibble.
Senator Rest.
I'm very serious, and
I've been struggling with that, and actually, in doubt about
whether I should support it.
Right. Well, Senator Rest, I also have been struggling with that question, and I have decided I do intend to vote for the bill. I was going to make a motion advance it without recommendation, but I think what I'm going to do is make a motion to lay this bill on the table instead.
Are you making that motion now?
Is there any more public testimony?
There have been no further ones. Yeah.
So, Senator Est, I will, Senator Chair Kent, I will move to lay Senate File 1173 on the table.
It's non-debatable, Madam Chair.
Excuse me?
It's non-debatable.
Yes, as a non-debatable motion. Senator Peterson?
Madam Chair, I think it's appropriate.
It's non-debatable, Senator Peterson. No conversation about it.
I was just hoping for an explanation procedurally in terms of what you'll do with the bill next, then.
Give it Senator. Now.
Okay. All right. The motion is laid on the table.
I will not defy Senator Rest.
Simple motion.
The motion is laid on the table. Is there any further questions or comments on any other issue before us at this point?
No, there can't be. It's just a vote.
Yes. Okay. So that is a motion, and
non-debatable, no discussion.
Point of order, Senator Miller?
No, I just have a question after.
It's not, no questions. It's non-debatable. No discussion. It's just
all
a vote.
All in favor of this motion, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
The motion carries. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Senator Rest, I didn't have a question about that. I just had a question for the chair. What is your plan so we can plan accordingly for the rest of the week?
Senator Miller, I have no plan at this point, but I will keep everyone fully informed as soon as I figure that out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Madam Chair, I've learned in my 2.5 years that you do not cross Senator Rest. So I was not meaning to do that, Senator Rest.
Point understood, Senator Miller. Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. While we may disagree on certain aspects of the bill, I do want to thank Chair Dibble for bringing this forward and having a good, healthy discussion on it today. I know it's not the bill he wanted. I don't think, after the testimony, I don't think there's anybody more disappointed in where we are with this bill, especially after the work this committee's put in than the chair. And so I just wanted to thank him for his work on this and appreciate it.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you. I appreciate those words. And Senator Pratt, I appreciate the discussion we had today. It was a good discussion. I appreciate the amendments. They really pointed up the priorities and the dilemmas and what's at stake. So I appreciate the discussion, I appreciate the amendments, and I appreciate everyone's hard work, and I guess we'll be seeing each other again soon. I will, like I said, keep everyone fully informed as soon as we figure out our next step.
And with that, this meeting is adjourned.